All right, take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16 this evening. Get all my stuff laid out up here. As you're turning, forgot to mention, but Bible Club. Do you remember Bible Club Saturday? Hope you can come help with that. All right. Genesis chapter 16, we're going to read this couple verses, and then one verse in chapter 17. Genesis 16, verse number 15, the Bible says, "And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, and Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Lord, I pray, God, this evening, Lord, as we've gathered once again, God, Lord, as we gather around this table, Lord, with your precious word, I pray, God, that you illuminate our minds. God, help us, Lord, not just to hear, not just to see, but God, help us to understand the word of God. Let it find a lodging place in our hearts, Lord, this evening, Lord. And God, I just ask you, Lord God, just to make it so real to us, Lord. And God, so many needs today, God, from physical, spiritual, but Lord, our country's in a mess. I just pray, God, that your children would rise up in these days and shine forth. And Lord, we'll just ask you, Lord, for that strength and power that only you can give. And Lord, I just ask you again, Lord, to continue to save souls, Lord. And we'll thank you for what you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I know what you're going to answer it already because you're in church. How many of you believe the Bible? Anybody here believe the Bible? Anybody don't believe the Bible? Okay, so we're pretty much all in agreement. I don't know what I was going to do if somebody raised their hands and said, "I don't believe the Bible." We'd probably change messages, I guess. But so the Word of God. And, you know, I've said it so many times, every jot, every tittle of the Word of God is inspired. It's not fluff. It's not there to just to take up space. It is what God had to say for us. All the things that God could have said, all the things that God could have given us, God has entrusted unto us this book, these words, as His precious words. And we're going to look, there's things that run through the Bible, and there's one of them that I see here this evening that's, I don't do a lot of this. I say it from time to time, just mentioning different things, but there are numbers in the Bible that run throughout the Bible that mean things. And there's a number here this evening that shows up that we looked at that has a great meaning. What number is it, preacher? I didn't really see a number. Well, let's look at it. Genesis chapter 16, look at verse 15 again. Well, let's look at verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So, how old was he? 86. All right. Chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. How old is he there? 99. So, how many years have gone between 16 verse 16 to 17 verse number 1? 13. How old was Ishmael? In the latter part, we read this 2 weeks ago now. How old was Ishmael at this period of time when God has given him the promise and God tells him to circumcise? How old was Ishmael? 13. Ishmael is a picture of what? The world, the flesh. We're going to look for just a little bit this evening at this number 13 because of the importance here and of what we see. And again, I want you to understand, we've looked at Abram. We're swinging from Abram into Abraham now. We know that we read last time that we were here together in chapter 17 how Isaac's is getting ready to be born. And we looked at the difference between Isaac or the comparison between Isaac and the Lord. And God changes Abram's name to Abraham. But here, from the time of chapter 16 to the time of chapter 17, 13 years, God has not spoken to Abram. 13 years, God has been quiet because of a reason of what happens with our flesh. And the number 13, I'll go ahead and throw it out there to you. Well, let's just, some of you will know this. What's number 13 stand for? Well, that's bad luck, preacher. That's what is it? Rebellion. And what does the Bible say about rebellion? Sin of witchcraft. So it's something that we need to understand. And what is rebellion? Well, there's rebellion between a child and a parent. There's rebellion inside the church house between the pew sitter and authority. That's there. But the rebellion that we're talking about is what true rebellion is, and that's what really is taking place when that child is rebellious to that parent or somebody else is rebellious to a person in authority. Is there really rebellion against God and God's Word? Because it is God that tells a child to obey its parents. And when a child does not do that, it's not the parent per se, it's God that they're really rebelling against. And it just grows and grows and grows. So we're going to look at this number 13. And again, you just don't pluck them out of the air. You don't just say, well, this means that and that means this. There's got to be basis for it. And we'll give you some of the basis this evening. It's very interesting if we have time. And I hope we do. Anybody got a dollar bill in their pocket? My wife hadn't given me my spending money for the next 6 months. Anybody, there's a dollar. Hang on to that dollar for me, Brother David. There's something interesting about a dollar. Anybody ever looked at a dollar? A lot of rebellion on a dollar. A lot of 13s on a dollar. How did that happen? You think it just happenstance? Come on. How do you think it happened? How many colonies was they when the... I wonder if I had anything to say. Oh, weren't they 14? Find it a lot in the occult. A lot of 13 in the occults. But I don't want to go there this evening. But I do want to see some things in the Bible this evening that have to do with this thought of 13. It is the number for rebellion. Look over in Genesis chapter 13. Here in Genesis chapter 13, we know that Lot has pitched his tent towards Sodom. Him and Abram have had a falling out. They've gone their separate ways. Look at Genesis chapter 13 in verse number 13. Ain't that funny? Now again, is this just coincidence, you think? Who wrote this book? And I know somebody's going to say, well, you know, they didn't put the chapters and the verses numbers in there till years and years later. Who do you think was in charge of that? How do you think this book laid itself out? God. So we have Genesis. This is the first book of our Bible. The first chapter, 13 of our Bible. And here in chapter 13, verse 13, there's something very interesting. Again, Lot has pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Why? Rebellion. They were a bunch of rebels. That's the problem. Now, you've got to help me this evening. Genesis 13, I didn't. There's nothing new in the Word of God. Don't think your preacher, boy, he's pretty smart. I didn't come up with this all on my own. Genesis 13, 13. Count with me how many words are in verse 13. A 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10, 11, a 12. How many words? Yeah, you know, man would have, surely man thought of that. So in Genesis 13, 13, with 13 words, we see a rebellious bunch of people that are wicked and vile and ungodly. Pretty interesting, isn't it? There's a principle. You've heard me say it before when you study your Bible. It's called the first mention principle. When you're reading through your Bible and you come across something that's mentioned for the very first time, if you'll take that, anchor to that, and then run with that, it'll be all the way through. You just don't pick and choose. You don't run yourself out on a limb. The very first mention of rebellion is found in Genesis chapter 14. Look with me there. Verse number 4. This is the very first time you hear the word rebellion. Genesis chapter 14, 4. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer. And in the what year? They what? Wonder why they didn't do it in the 12th year. Wonder why they didn't hang on one more year and get it on the 14th. Who's in charge of this thing anyway? There's something. Now, I know this isn't scientifically. I was thinking about this one. How many parents we got in here? Grandparents. When does most children, when do you really start having, when does it seem like that switch in the back of their head gets pushed? Now, some a little earlier, some maybe a little later. Something about that, though. I just thought that was interesting. So here we have the first mention, and it was in the 13th year. So Genesis chapter 13 in verse 13 has 13 words, and it's about rebellion. Pretty interesting. Now, I did know, but I don't know because I didn't write it all down. There's a lot of books in the Bible that has a chapter 13 with the 13th verse. Agree? All of them don't turn out that way. But it is very interesting that there's a number of them that do. You want to see them? Let's look at them. Look in 1 Samuel. Anybody in here an old rockhead? Not crackhead, but I'm not preaching against music. Anybody in here an old rock listening music? Don't say you are now. I was reading this today, how 13 runs through a lot of that old rock music. Some group, and I don't remember, 13 Candles? Anybody, does that ring a bell? This shows your huh? Is that an old song? They said that had a lot to do with rebellion. I wonder how they get that stuff. It's amazing, isn't it? 1 Samuel 13. Look with me in verse number 13. Here God is rebuking Saul for his rebellion against God. Verse number 13 of 1 Samuel 13 says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." He's done what? Foolishly. Why? He didn't listen to God. Rebellion. Isaiah chapter 13. here's God talking about what he's getting ready to do to this world and during the tribulation. Verse 13, therefore I, being God, will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Why? Because of rebellion. The rebellion of the Jew, because they didn't accept the Messiah. The rebellion of man, because they didn't accept God. And God says, there's a price for rebellion. Look in Jeremiah chapter 13. Here, God is dealing with man that has rebelled against God's word and his commandments and against strong drink. Look in verse number 13. Thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit down, that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. Why? Because they didn't listen to God. They rebelled against what God said. Let's look at another one. Ezekiel 13. Another price for rebellion. Ezekiel 13:13, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it, all because they would not listen to God. Rebellion, the sin of witchcraft. God says, I ain't going to put up with that. There's a price to pay. Here comes, I think, two of the bigger ones. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Bless you. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Hold your place there, then jump back to the book of Revelation. And grab chapter 13. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, God is dealing with telling the nation of Israel what to do with a false prophet. Look here in verse number 1. Well, helps get to the right place. There we go. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. I had a dream. Where do you think that come from? A dreamer of dreams. A prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So he's telling them what to do when someone comes and tries to woo you. Look at how people are so misled today. It isn't the truth of the Word of God they seek. It isn't the truth of what saith the Scriptures. It's how I feel, or how somebody performs, or how somebody makes it look big, or how it's a rock and roll party up on the platform. Bible trivia, history, help you. What is this? This thing? What is this? That's the pulpit. This is just a desk. This is a sacred desk. This is the pulpit. Because they built it up so men could see them as they opened up the Word of God. Now we call this the pulpit. I'm just saying this because I think everything that happens in this building ought to be to the glory of God. But as men enter up onto this platform, they're entering up into the pulpit. As they sing or as we preach. So, and all that come to my mind because of how people today are so drawn by what the glitter of their eyes and the tapping of their toes and the moving of their flesh. What is that? What was Ishmael? What was Ishmael? He was the flesh child. The picture of rebellion. And when we work out of our flesh, we rebel against God. That's from the preacher that tries to make things happen. Come on. If God doesn't build this house, we're laboring in vain. Rebellion is not just that, I ain't going to do it. No, rebellion is when we say, God, we don't need you. We got this. That's rebellion. So, all right, where were we? It got me sidetracked. Where were we at? Deuteronomy chapter 13. So, here we have God telling the nation of Israel, be careful. There's going to be men. There's going to be prophets. There's going to be dreamers. Brother Rick, how many times? I mean, I've only been to prison a handful of times. But I think every time I've ever been into prison, I've always talked to somebody that, well, preacher, I had a dream. And they don't like me because I'll say, well, you must have ate something you shouldn't have ate. Because if it don't line up with the Word of God, it ain't right. God didn't tell you something that He didn't put in this book. If the Bible don't back it up, you better get away from it. What saith the Scriptures? And if we choose... One of my favorite statements that irks me to my bone. I know, but. I know a lot of but, too. You talk to somebody that's outside the will of God, they will say, I know, but. I had a person tell me they didn't care. This person claimed to be saved. They didn't care what the Bible said. What? Can you say that again? You don't care what the Bible says because you don't agree with it? Who's right? I'm going to go with the Bible. What about y'all? Because when we don't, we are in rebellion. Because God told them right here. Let's look at it again. Chapter 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, notice verse 2, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Man can do some things. Remember the magicians there with Pharaoh when God was doing all the curses? Well, here, we can do that. They had their magic too. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. Wait a minute, it's a test. It's a test. He's proven us. Wait a minute, but man, that sounds pretty good. Old Teflon Hillary. That sounds pretty good. Could you... Don't go there. How can you say you go with God and follow after man? You can't walk in agreement with man and be in agreement with God. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. This is what you do. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love... Well, he's proving you how? To see if you do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, not just with your mouth and not with just your flesh. I added the last part, but that's what it's saying. Why? It's rebellion when you go against God. Deuteronomy chapter 13, 13. Here's another first. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. First mention of these children. Of who? Children of who? Who's that? The devil. And they've come in amongst and brought them out. Playing their little piper's pipe and just leading them astray. Let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. So we have false prophets leading men away from God to the children of the devil. What is that rebellion? When we're not listening to God. So, keep in mind, Deuteronomy chapter 13, God is giving us what to do, how to deal with false prophet, right? Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Guess who we find here? Let's see. You remember our Revelation study, you might have it marked. Chapter 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Who is this? What did we just learn in Deuteronomy about a false what? What are we talking about here? So what do we do with him? God says don't listen to him. God says don't follow him. So this refers back, chapter 13 of Revelation refers back to Deuteronomy chapter 13. It's pretty interesting too, just throw this out here, they have the same amount of verses. Trivia. There's something else mentioned here. Verse number 2, notice about towards the end, and the dragon. Who's that? Who's the dragon? Come on. Let me give you a chance to guess something. Dragon. That's who? Satan. Wonder how many times we find the word dragon in the book of Revelation. Anybody got any ideas? How many? 13 times. Ain't that a coinky dink? Wonder why? Is he not the king of rebellion? Mentioned 13 times. Look at verse 13. And he doeth great wonders. Remember what we saw in Deuteronomy? Don't follow them. Those dreamer of dreamers and those sign workers. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Just like they do today. Don't look over here. Look over here. Look over here. Don't look over there. Look over here. That's how he works. Why? He wants you to rebel against God. Pretty interesting stuff. Drawing men away by the works of miracles. So, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we looked at the one in Genesis. So that's 7 places that you can go, chapter 13, verse 13, and it'll all draw you back to rebellion. Anybody know what that number stands for? Pretty complete thought, I think. Rebellion. And we're all guilty from time to time. Let's look at a great example. Look over in 1 Kings. Let's see here. Where do we want to start? I know where I want to finish, but I can't. Well, let's just see here. Look at verse number 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus said the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places and that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that were upon it shall be poured out. So, God is prophesying something to Jeroboam. And verse 4 says, and it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelleth an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou comest. He said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. What's happening? We got a prophet, a true prophet, a true man of God. God has spoken to this man of God, and he's gone to the king, and he's showed what thus saith the Lord God, and the king says, Hey, that's great. Come home with me. I can't do it. God said not to eat no bread, drink no water, not to go home, just not do that. So he leaves. Then there's an old lying prophet. Here's about the real deal. I want what he's got. So he chases him down. Are you the guy? Yeah, I'm the guy. Come home with me. Can't come home with you. God said, I couldn't go home with you. The lying prophet says, but I'm a prophet just like you. Just because they have preacher in front of their name or pastor in front of their name or don't mean they are one. He says, I'm just like you. And I had an angel come tell me. What did Paul say over there about if I tell you or if an angel tells you? I think he tells him, what, three times he goes over that? Don't listen to him. But guess what happens? Verse 19. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto him, unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread nor drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, as he had eaten bread after he had drunk, that he saddled up his ass to whip for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it into the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, and hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. Rebellion. He rebelled against God, and God killed him. Sounds pretty serious, don't it? I thought so too. All right, back to Revelation 13 real quickly. Revelation 17, I'm sorry. It hasn't been Revelation 13. 17. Here we have a system. We studied this system. Revelation 7, 16 says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Hang on just a minute. Okay. "Which whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, and full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns." So here we have a religious system, and this religious system, as we've read, has a golden cup, and with that golden cup, she makes them drunk with her drunkenness, and she's wealthy. She has the silver and the gold, and she's wearing purple and scarlet. And another thing that's interesting about this here religious system, it's the only place that you'll find this, not a nation, it's a city. Something interesting about that. And this religious system worships a woman and not a man. And then in verse 5, we have the name of this woman. "And upon her forehead was a name written," count them, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth." How many words are in all Italian, or bold letters? 13. Wonder why. Now, we know this is that great city, Babylon. Babylon is thought to be have begun by a man by the name of Nimrod. Who's Nimrod? Well, let's go look at him. Turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, look at verse number 6. "And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabbath, and Ramah, and Sabbatha, and the sons of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be mighty one, to be a mighty one in the earth." If you count those down from Ham, guess what number Nimrod is? 13th. Out of the line, the cursed line of Ham. I wonder why God did it that way. I think it all has to do with that thought of rebellion. And we see that city of Babylon, and she's still at work today, that great mystery there. That system that we looked at, again, that's the Catholic Church. No, it's a system. It's at work. It works in people's hearts and our pews. It has to do with rebellion. So that's another interesting. Look over in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We know what the Bible tells us about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Did you know there's a fruit of the flesh? Look with me here in Mark chapter 7. Man, of course, rebelled against God. And because of that, because Adam rebelled, that sin has been passed down to every man. So look at Mark chapter 7, verse number 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Guess how many of those are there? There's 11. No, there's 13. 13 things God tells us that comes out of a rebellious chunk of flesh. Thank God there's saving grace. Amen? All right. A couple more and we're done. This is neat. Look over in the book of Ezra. Find 2 Chronicles and the next one over and you got it. Ezra chapter 2. Ezra chapter 2, look at verse number. Guess what verse? Anyone guess what verse we're going to look at? Oh, okay, 13. We'll look at that one. The children of, a very interesting name, and I'll probably say it wrong, Adonikam, 666. Now, the 666 is very interesting. We'll say a little bit about it in a minute. But it's funny that that 666 is tied to this guy. Names in the Bible mean things. If you take that name, there in verse number 13, A-D-O-N-I means Lord. But then you take the K-A-M, the I-K-A-M, the A-D-O-N-I is Lord, then the I-K-A-M means rebellion. The Lord of rebellion. Six hundred sixty-six. What does that have to do with anything? Revelation chapter 13 again. Here is wisdom. Let him, this is verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Tied to rebellion. A couple more. I dug these out today. Look over in Romans chapter 1. Here we have that chapter that nobody wants to talk about today. A bunch of reprobates. Look in verse 28. Romans chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, what are they? They're rebellious. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornications, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedience to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in doing them. So we have here 23 characteristics of a rebellious, sinful group of people. And if you count those through there to the 13th one, guess what it is? Let's look at it. Let me find it. It's they are haters of God is the 13th of the one out of all those 23, if you count down through there. Verse number 30, there it is. Haters of God, the second one there in verse 30. That's 13th down. Why? That's rebellion. So as we rebel against authority, youngins, as we rebel against authorities, adults, you're not rebelling against the preacher. You're not rebelling against mom and dad. You're not rebelling against the government. You're rebelling against God. And God says there's a great price to pay. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Haman? It's found over there in the book of Esther, chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Haman had his decree signed on guess what day? 13th day. Why? Because he was rebellious. He wanted to be the one, right? Remember the story of Haman? I thought that was interesting. This one's very neat. Look in 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 6. Here we have Solomon finishing up the house of God for the temple. Look at verse number 38. And in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building the house of God there. 7 years he worked on building the temple. It's pretty neat, isn't it? Well, remember what Solomon did? Now Solomon got away from God, started running around with all them women. I run after their gods. It hurt him. Look over in 1 Kings chapter 7. And look at verse number 1. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years. And he finished all his house. Seven houses, 7 years for God's house, 13 years for his own house. Wonder why? Must be something with rebellion. One more and I'm done. Go back to Revelation 17 again. And then I'm going to give you a few things about the dollar bill. And you could spend a whole day talking about the dollar bill, I believe. I didn't realize there's that much stuff out there. Revelation chapter 17, we looked at it, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The great whore being the title there. Guess how many letters is in them three words? I'll give you a big guess. It's 13. All right. Again, and there's a lot of numerology in the Bible. You just have to, you know, how did they come up with these things? Well, the Bible just lays it out. But the main thing is we saw that Ishmael, the picture of flesh, the picture of this world, God did not speak to Abram for 13 years because Abram rebelled against God. Rebellion has a great price. And if you take a dollar bill, you'll find there's 13 stars around the eagle, 13 stripes belong it, 13 arrows in its left hand, 13 leaves in its right side. The pyramid on the front side of a U.S. dollar has 13 layers. There's so many more things. There's a lot of 13s. Pretty interesting to study about that one eye on that dollar bill. You ever wondered why that was on there? A lot of neat little things. Do you know there's an owl in your dollar bill? A horned owl, to be exact. Something you can't see it if you ain't looking for it. There's actually a skull in your dollar bill. There's that star, and I can't remember. Brother Dave, you remember that star? I'm putting you on the spot. The star of something. It's a devil-worshipping star. It's on your dollar bill. Is that just a coincidence, you think? Why didn't they put 12 arrows? Why didn't they put something about rebellion and who rebellion's tied to? And what's the lover of money? Not wrong to have money. My wife would give me my allowance, I'd have a dollar. But again, there's something about this, again, so much in this book. And it's just amazing. People say, oh, that's boring. There's nothing in there. We've only begun to scratch around a little bit of what's in this great book. So, pretty interesting stuff. All right, let's stand together. We'll pray for the preacher. Look at there. Good illustrations. I don't know how you do an invitation, but we're going to have one. Hope you always know there is an invitation. Not just now, anytime.